Okay, Chevra, let's begin learning. What I'd like to do with you tonight is nothing that fancy, but just to go through some of this Agadata, the Gemara that begins on Beis, make a few ha'aros, a few points, and if there's anything that you don't understand in the Gemara, obviously you should ask. But let's just begin. The Gemara begins that there's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Is the correct text in the Mishnah idehen with an aleph or idehen with an ayin? Right? The Gemara in other places in Shas has a similar thing. In Beitza, is it mashilin or mashchilin? The Gemara has a discussion like that. Sometimes the Gemara has these types of technical questions. And the Gemara says, madatana idehen lo mishtabish, madatana idehen lo mishtabish. They're both not wrong. Right? If you have it with an aleph, you're not mistaken. If you have it with an ayin, you're not mistaken. If you have it with an aleph, you're not mistaken. D'chsiv, right? Ki karov yom edom. That's a pasuk in. Where's ki karov yom edom? It's coming up pretty soon. What? Which parasha? Hazinu. Right? Ki karov yom edom means that their special day is coming, and the they is referring to the goyim. Right? In other words, that the Goyim consider these days festivals, but the Mishnah uses the term Lufnei Edehen with an Aleph to say not that these are days of festivals, but like we try to turn it upside down and we say it's a day that they will be broken, that they will be destroyed. Ki Karov Yom Edom means that the day that they will be destroyed is approaching. And the one who says, Eden lo mishtavish desiv, yitnu edehen v'yitztaku. Now what's interesting to note over here, and the Maharsha makes this point, is that there's a machlokas that Rashi quotes at the beginning of Parashas Ha'azinu as to whether Shiras Ha'azinu was talking about the Jews or the Goyim. No? Rashi in Shiras Ha'azinu, Pasuk Mem Gimel, Rashi has a machlokas in the Sefrei between Reb Yehuda and Reb Nechemiah. Right? Is Shiras Ha'azinu talking about that there will be a time that the Jewish people don't listen to mitzvos, etc., or don't do mitzvos, and they get punished? Or is it talking about the Goyim will get punished? So effectively, what this Gemara is saying is that Shiras Ha'azinu is about the Goyim. By the way, if any of you have time on your hands, you could go through Shiras Ha'azinu and try to interpret each pasuk according to each opinion, no? Rashi doesn't do everything for us. When I was in yeshiva in YU, so this fellow Rabbi Eitan Orlian was in yeshiva, and Rabbi Orlian went through the Shira, and he put out like a whole chart about Rashi, like, is missing chunks. But okay, you could try to fill it in. It's an interesting exercise. So we have two approaches. Is it Edehen with an Aleph or with an Ayin? So the Gemara then says, Madatani Edehen, Maitamalotani Edehen. If you have it with an Aleph, why don't you have it with an Ayin? And the Mefarshim all note that in the parallel places in Shas, where you have this type of formulation about two words that pretty much mean the same thing, the Gemara never says, how come you don't say like the other? No. That's only done over here, probably because we have an answer. Sometimes the Gemara, I don't know if this is like Fira to say this type of idea, but sometimes the Gemara will only ask a question if we have an answer. If you don't have an answer, you won't ask the question. If you have an answer, you ask the question. That's what's going on over here. So if you have Eidem with an Aleph, why don't you have it with an Ayin? Amar Lucha Tavra Adif. We want to focus on the destruction of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, destruction of the nations. Mandatana Eidehen, how can you not have it with an Aleph? So he says, Amalach, Manka Garam Lahu Tavra, the Eidos that they testify about themselves. The reason why they will be destroyed is because they will testify about themselves. Well, Asid Lovel, there's going to be a Yom Hadin Hagadol that the Goyim will testify that they served Avodah Zarah, and that's why they get destroyed. Hilkach, Eidos Adifa. Right? Eidos is better because we'd rather focus on the testimony that they brought about themselves. That's why they get destroyed. So then the Gemara asks, but one second, but this pasuk of Yitnu Edehen V'Yitztaku, this pasuk in Isaiah, that pasuk is not talking about the Goyim, that pasuk is talking about the Jews. Dam Reb Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Mitzvah Sheyisrael Osin Ba'olam Hazeh, Ba'os U'Me'iden Lahen La'olam Haba. The Gemara asks, but this pasuk of Yitnoidem Yitztaku means that any mitzvah that the Jews do in this world, that mitzvah will come and testify for them in Olam Haba. Anyone want to explain this concept to me? What does it mean that the mitzvahs come and testify? Dun, 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 dun. Anyone? Talia? What? We have no idea what that means. Like, what does it mean that mitzvahs come and testify? Huh? So the Maharsha over here has a very interesting comment. Zot the Maharsha, that there is a tradition from the Mikubalim. My kids sing this song. There's some Uncle Moshe song to this effect that any mitzvah that you do creates a malach, no? Mm-hmm. You ever heard this concept? Right? Just from Uncle Moshe, obviously. But any mitzvah that you do creates a malach, and that malach goes, and that malach testifies on your behalf, la'asid level. Right? We're all going to die. And if we do mitzvahs, so the malach will testify. By the way, quick word about the Maharsha. There are two parts to the Maharsha, no? There's the Chiddushe Halachas and the Chiddushe Agados. The Chiddushe Agados is written in smaller letters than the Chiddushe Halachos. And this is in the Maharsha, in the Chiddushe Agados, Dibar Maso Baos Umeidos. Hi, Shani.
I was just going to ask if that was the opinion of the Maharsha that says it's Malachim.
So the Maharsha says that this Gemara means, like the Mekubalim say, that when we do a mitzvah, right? Everything that we do creates a certain spiritual thing, and that's what it means that we're nosing koach b'pamal yoshomayla, that our mitzvah somehow add strength in the heavenly arsenal, or whatever. It means that's what the Maharsha says. And by the way, based on this, the Gemara is a little meduyak. Ko mitzvah she Yisrael osim ba'olam hazeh, ba'os umeidos lahem ba'olam haba. That word ba'os, what does ba'os mean? It comes. What do you mean that it comes? The teretz is that because I do a mitzvah, right? I daven shachris in the morning, I eat matzah le'al haseda, I do a mitzvah, that creates a malach. And that malach comes and testifies for me in Olam Haba. So if anyone tells you that this is an idea that Uncle Moshe invented, you should tell them, no, it's a Maharsha in Avodah Zarah, that Beis Amin Aleph.
I actually learned that, and then my teacher said that that's how you make Shabbos come earlier. If you do more mitzvah, then the malachim will be more malachim, so Shabbos can come earlier.
The reason why we can make Shabbos earlier is because we have the ability to be Mosif Mechol al HaKodesh. There's a Din D'oraisa that we learn from Yom HaKippurim, right? The Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes about Tosefes, Shabbos, Yom Tiv, Yom Kippur, etc. If the Rambam only has it by Yom Kippur, the Pashtus is it applies to Shabbos and Yom Tiv also. But I think what your teacher is bothered by is if the Gemara in Shabbos, and where is it, Kuf Yud Zayin, Kuf Yud Ches, the Gemara in Shabbos says that when you come home from Shul Friday night, you have like all these angels that escort you. Sometimes if you make Shabbos earlier, there are angels who will escort you home. It's a very serious question that like most normal people never think about. So the question is, like, is that true? So what your teacher is probably saying is, yeah, well, when you make Shabbos early, you're doing a mitzvah of making Shabbos early, and that creates other angels. What?
I don't know if they were thinking that far into it. That's a nice conversation.
We're trying, okay? Sometimes you have to stretch. So any mitzvah, ko mitzvah she Yisrael osim ba'olam hazeh, bo'osu me'idus lahem la'olam haba, by the way, by implication, that means that the mitzvahs that Jews do, if a goy does a mitzvah, apparently, so that does not create an angel. Just, right? That's why you should take in the Gemara. We're just trying to read it precisely. Okay. So the Gemara's question is, what are you telling me that Yitnu Eidem B'Yitzdaku means that the Goyim will testify about themselves that they served Avodah Zarah? Doesn't it mean that when Jews do mitzvahs, they'll testify? Right? Shenemar, Yitnu Eidem B'Yitzdaku Elo Yisoy, Yishmo B'Yomar Emes Elo Evdekachavim, Elo Amrav Huna, B'Reid Rav Yeshua, Mandama Eidem Mehacha, Yotzei Pesel, Kulam Tohu, V'Chamudehem Bal Yo'ilu, V'Eidehem Heima. It's basically the same idea. Eidehem Heima means, right, that they will, the Avodah Zarah, will come and testify on the Ovdeha L'chaivam. Now, when you think about it, though, it's a little different than the first explanation. The first explanation says that the Goyim will testify about themselves, or Asad Lavo, to punish themselves. The second explanation, when we're learning from this pasuk in Isaiah 44 of Yotze Pesel Kulam Tohu, etc., that means that the Geshkes, the idols, will come and testify on those who served those idols. No? Again, the imagery over here is interesting, that there's going to be these idols who are testifying about the people who worshipped them. Meaning, even though, like we say in Hallel all the time, that Inayim Lahem Velo Yiru, we like make fun of Avodah Zarah. By the way, that's part of the idea. Did I mention this in my introduction? Sure, I have no recollection of what I say or not. But Rav Huttner points out in the first Maimer in Purim, in Pachad Yitzchak, he points out that Kol Eitzanus Asur Chutz Mal Eitzanus Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to make fun of anything besides Avodah Zarah. So Rav Huttner says what that means is that Leitzanus technically means that you take something that's chashav and you lower it, but Avodah Zarah by definition is very low. It's as low as it gets. So therefore, there's no Isser of Leitzanus on Avodah Zarah. In our world, we make fun of Avodah Zarah all the time, you know? We say, Naim Lahem V'lo Yiru, as Naim Lahem V'lo Yishma'u. They're meaningless. But somehow the Avodah Zarah comes to life. It's like night at the museum, Lahavdol, right? It comes to life, and it will testify about those who worshipped them. Okay, that's this Gemara. Anything else to say about this Gemara? Did any of you young women have any ideas when you read this Gemara? By the way, Rav Moshe Feinstein told Rabbi Tendler, and Rabbi Tendler became the rabbi of the Great Neck Synagogue. You know that Rabbi Tendler was the founding rabbi of the Great Neck Synagogue, no? So Rabbi Ramosha told Rabbi Tendler that the thing to focus on when you're a rabbi is to learn the Agadita well. Often people just like run through the Agadita Gemara. It's like the Halacha Gemara is much more exciting. And Moshe says, no, you have to really focus on the Agadita because there are points of Ikarim in Yahadus that the Agadita brings out. So we're trying to do this to the best of our ability. Good? Anything else to say? Michal, any comments?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, good. Darash Rab Chanina Bar Papa. V'iteima Reb Simloi. La'asad lavo, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sefer Torah. Umei nicho b'cheiko. Va'omer, la'misha asak ba, yavo v'yito scharo. Okay? La'asad lavo, God will take a Torah, put the Torah on his lap. Again, kivyachol. Obviously, God does not have a lap, and it's probably not a physical Sefer Torah. But God will put this physical God will put the Torah on his lap, and he'll say that someone who, those who study Torah, who were osek in Torah, who toiled in the Torah, should come and take the schar. Now, this la'asad lavo probably means once we enter the stage of olam shekulo neshamos, whatever that means, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Tes will say that the world is only 6,000 years, no? And by year 6,000, you know, apparently at that point, North Korea will, like, finally send something, or whatever it is, and the world is going to end in the year 6,000. So, la'asad lavo, God will take this Torah, and Hashem will say, if you were osek in Torah, you'll get the reward. Apparently, Hashem is telling us that the main reward comes for being osek in Torah, no? And this is very consistent with the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Lamed Aleph that says that the first question that we're going to get, la'asad lavo, is, did you learn Torah, right? That's it. That's number one. So that's the question HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks the people. L'mish asakba, did you learn Torah? If you learn Torah, you'll get the reward. So miyam is kapsen uba'in ovde kochavim be'erbuvya. Shenema kol ha'goyim nikbetu yachtov. All the goyim come together in a big, how do you translate erbuvya? A mishkababel. That's a very technical translation. Thank you. Right? They come in a mishkababel. And they say, right, as the pasuk says, that they all gather together. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Amram HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al tikantu lefanai ve'erbuvye, ela tikanes ka'uma v'uma v'sofreha. I don't want everyone to come together in a mishkababel, right? But rather, all the nations v'sofreha, Rashi says, v'chachomeha should come. Now this is actually interesting. How come chachomim are called sofrim? So there are two reasons that are given. One reason why the Chachamar quotes Sofrim, the Gemara in Kedushin on Lamed, right? The Gemara says because she yodim misparam shel osios, no? That they have the vav of gachon is chetzi shel Torah. Then the Gemara asks, is the vav mehaigi? So the vav mehaigi says the vav on this side or that side. Right? The Gemara goes through that the Chachamim know all the numbers. Or another approach is that they're called Sofrim because it's a mnemonic device to use numbers to help you remember your learning. No? If I remember that the sugya has three kashas on Rav Huna, four terutzim, whatever it is, that's a good way to remember. Now, if that's the case, the term Sofreha might not apply to Goyim. Right? The term Sofrim is a technical term about Chachmei Yisrael. Moreover, the Maharsha writes in Bava Basra Daf Yud that the reason why the Chachamim are called Sofrim, Zok the Maharsha, is because the way you become a Chacham is that you're a Sofer. Maharsha writes that you have to take notes. I've always had students, you see, you guys are actually very good. Every one of you is taking notes, no? Many of my students uptown think that they're really smart and they don't take notes. And you know what happens to them? Well, usually they have to borrow someone's notes right before the test, and they don't do as well as actually when you take notes. It is something, and Dr. Pelkovitz has this whole shita that the way you actually remember stuff is when you write it by hand. Taking notes on the computer happens not to be as good for your memory. And the Maharsha says that the reason why the Chachamim are called Sofrim is because they're writing books. The books are their own notes that they're writing. Again, these reasons perhaps could extend to Goyim also. Maybe Goyim, to remember things, also use numbers, and maybe they also take notes. But the technical term Sofrim usually refers to Chachmei Yisrael. So basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Goyim say that, what do you mean? Right? We also want to get the reward, and they all come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'er Buvya Nei Mishka Babel. So Hashem says, no, don't come as a Mishka Babel. Rather, each nation should come on its own with its own Chachamim. Shenemer v'yayasvu le'umim ve'in le'om el ha'malcha shenemer ul'om mel'om ye'ematz. This is like a very funny Gemara that the Gemara feels it's necessary to define the term la'om for us, no? But basically, all the nations gather together, and HaKadosh Umi, correct the Gemara, Umi Yekar Buvya Kamei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? How could there be a Mishka Babel to God, right? God can see through everything, right? Right? Rashi writes, Halo Kulam Niskar Beskira Achas, Shenema Hayote Yachad Libam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees everyone together. So there can't be any Mishka Bibel through God. Is it Mishka Bibel or Mishka Babel? It's a big machlokas between Chassidim and Misnagdim, no? But basically, Nigamai asks, how can there be a mix-up in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ela ki hechadu la'arvu inhu v'hade hadadi. The answer is that we don't want them to get mixed up with each other. Now what that means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving Musar to the Goyim La'asad Lavam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them Musar, he wants the people not to be able to say, oh, that's for them, that's for them. You have to realize it's for me, right? So therefore, Hashem says, no, I want each nation to come on their own. Delishma'u ma'i da'am alahu. Delishma'u in this context means that they should understand what he's saying. So then Rome comes in. Why does Rome come first? Mishum d'chashiva. How do you know it's chashuv? Because in Daniel, when they go through the Dal and Malchios, so the fourth one is Rome. It's the biggest one. Vatecho kol arav etedushne utedukne. That this gigantic thing comes out and it like grinds everything up, etc. So that's Rome. Amreb Yochanan zu Romi chayeves. This is Rome. Now Rome is called Romi chayeves. Tosis at the top of this page has two explanations why Rome is called Romi Chayeves, either because the Psukim and Malachi speak about Rome as Gevul Rish'ah, as the area of Rish'ahim, or else Tysus' second explanation, again, I'm understanding this Tysus based on what the Maharam Lublin says on the Tysus, that there is a debt that Rome owes. Tysus quotes from the Maisa Merkava, which is some Kabbalah sefer, no? Tosis quotes in the Maaseh Merkava that Rome owes a debt because of the Maaseh de Reb Chanina ben Tradion, which is a Gemara on Daf Yud Ches, that Again, I don't know if we'll be able to get to your test this semester. We could certainly try, and you should try to get that far on your own, certainly. But Ma'isa Rav Chanina ben Trajan is what we call the Masara Harugei Malchus, right? And that episode of Masara Harugei Malchus, Nigzar Romi Chur ben Gadol, they were declared that they should be destroyed, a terrible Chorban for Rome, and that Chorban is a debt that they owe. That's the way the Maharam says it. So either Chayeves means that they're Rishaim, or Chayeves means that they owe a debt. So basically, Rome comes up. Rome is famous for the entire world. How do you know that the Choshev one goes first? And the Gemara says, because when you have the king and the Tzibur, the king goes in first. Right? And there are two reasons in the Gemara why the king goes in first. Either because it's not Derech Eretz for the king to stay on the outside, or else the king goes in first because generally HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angrier as time goes on, and the king wants to avoid that anger, so the king goes in first. So God asks them, B'mai asakten, what did you do? Now this is a very funny Gemara when you think about it, no? Because they're supposed to learn Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu puts the Torah on his lap, whatever that means, right? And obviously, I'm not speaking about how Kadosh Baruch Hu is a male, because God is not male nor female. God is God, right? That's basically all we can say. But Kadosh Baruch Hu says that if you learn Torah, so then you'll go up. So how come? Right? How come Kadosh Baruch Hu asks them, but my asak, them, and they say, oh, well, we did lots of good deeds. We built marketplaces, and we built bathhouses, and we have lots of gold and silver. We did lots of great things. By the way, Rome was known for the building of marketplaces. If you go to the Cardo is exactly that. It's a Roman marketplace, no? Hi, Shani.
Isn't this proof, though, that the guy had testified for themselves? Because God says what
he... But on Beis Amud Aleph, the Goyim testifying for themselves means that the Goyim lo asid lavo will testify to punish themselves. Over here, the Goyim are advocating on their behalf, so they're trying to save themselves. It's like the opposite, right? But the question is, if you're supposed to learn Torah, so how come Rome is saying that we did all these good deeds, right? Let's be honest. The CJF, right? Center for Jewish Future, I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It does lots of good deed things, but oftentimes when you do good deeds, that means that you're not really studying Torah. So good deeds ain't the same as Torah. That's the question. Hi, Michal.
Oh, I was just going to say, remember he asked if I had anything to say and I said not yet. so basically when people are learning yesterday, we're like, more fundamentally, even before you get into it, like, when Hashem says anyone who is also the Torah come and get your schar, like what's the happening of the guy that they would even get it?
Right.
Like why are they coming?
Good question.
Look at the Maharsha, that was helpful.
What did Maharsha say?
He simply said that like they all Gaim think that their das is true, so.
But the Maharsha says a little more than that. The Maharsha says that the Goyim don't realize that the document that's on the Kadosh Baruch Hu's lap is the Torah. They think it's their Roman Book of Laws or their whatever, and they all think that they're true, right, etc., like you're mentioning. Right? That's what the Maharsha says. So, right, they think that we'll get in because we learned Roman law very well, and we did lots of good Roman things, like it says in the Roman books. Right? That's... Now, there is a famous... Let's just continue the Gemara. And the Romans then say that we did all of these things, Bishvil Yisrael, Kadesh Yisasku B'Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, no, Sholtim Sheba Olam, you idiots, right? What you did wasn't for the Jews. Kol Ma'ash Asisim Mutzarech Atzmecham Asisim. You made the marketplaces, Lehoshevem Zonos, Merchatzos, La'adim Behen Atzmechem. Kesev Zohav, that's mine anyway, it's not yours. Klum Yesh Bechem Magid Zos, you have anyone who knows Torah? Magid Zos, who could speak about Zos, this Torah, Shenem Amibachem Yagid Zos, and Zos, Ola Torah, Shenem Zos, HaTorah, Shesom Moshe. So they're all sad. Yotzu B'Pachi Nefesh. Now there is a vart that they say from Rebovo Soloveitchik. You know, they built the Trans-Siberian Railroad. And the Trans-Siberian Railroad was like one of the major engineering feats of that time in the early 20th century, because it basically went all the way from the east coast of the former Soviet Union to the west coast of Vladivostok. And Reb Velvel at one point said that the only reason why the Trans-Siberian Railroad was built is because that enabled the Mir Yeshiva to be able to travel from... They weren't actually in Mir at that point. No, they ran away to Vilna first. And from Vilna, they ended up getting their document. There's a story. You know the story? There's a family story about this. The Mir Yeshiva was in Vilna. And, well, they ended up taking the Trans-Siberian Railroad to Vladivostok, and then they went by boat from there to Kobe, Japan, and then from Kobe to Shanghai. That's how they were saved. The family story about this is that my aunt's first husband was named Yanko Ring. And Yanko Ring was a bacher in the Mir, and there were rumors going around that the Rashi Yeshiva are going to run away, and that the Rashi Yeshiva got visas to leave, and they'd leave the Yeshiva guys behind. So apparently the story goes that Yanko Ring walked over to the Rashi Yeshiva one morning after davening and said, Rebbe habich gehert as irfort. Do I have to translate for anyone? Or okay, fine. He said, Rebbe, I heard that you're traveling, that you're going to leave. So the Rashi Yeshiva said, is vas, so what? So Yanko said to the Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbe, oib mirforin, erfort. Aber mirforin nisht, erfort nisht. If we go, you can go. If we don't go, you're not going. So the Rosh Yeshiva said, ish drashet mir. Right? Are you threatening me? So Yanko said, no, ich drashet nisht. I'm not threatening you. It's just that, oib mirforin, erfort. Aber mirforin nisht, erfort nisht eichet. Right? If we go, you go, etc. So, apparently, this became like a big issue in the Beis Medrash in the Mir, and Reb Aaron Cutler, all the yeshivas were like learning together, basically, in some room in Vilna, and Reb Aaron Cutler had to separate Yanko from the Rosh Yeshiva, but because of that episode, the Rosh Yeshiva decided to try to get visas for all the guys, and not to leave without the guys. Or so the family story goes. Teal, did you ever hear the story? What?
No, but because of
right, it's my aunt's first husband, right? That's why you never heard the story. Whatever. So they left. And Reb Velvel Soloveitchik said, the Rav's uncle said, that maybe the reason why they had to build this Trans-Siberian Railroad was in order for the Mirror Yeshiva to get out. And then he quoted the Gemara. When the Goyim say that we did everything b'shvil Yisrael, we built the Shvakim, we built the Merchatzos, we built the marketplaces and the bathhouses for the Jews, the Gemara doesn't say that they're wrong, no? All the Gemara says is, no, 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 you really were thinking about yourself more than them. It doesn't say that you didn't do it for the Jews. Right? And ultimately, Reb Velvel said that everything that happens in the world is b'shvil Yisrael on some level, and that's the pshat in the first Rashi al HaTorah, no? Or the second Rashi al HaTorah. The beis of Bereishis means that there's a purpose in creation. Bishvil Yisrael shenikru Reishis. Right? Again, it sounds like our universe is very centered around ourselves, but that might be correct. Right? It's not necessarily a bad thing. Oh! So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you didn't do it for the Jews, etc. After Rome leaves, so then Paras comes in, because Paras is the second most chashuv one, and the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Daniel, again, that they are like a bear, right? The Persians are like bears because they eat and drink like bears. They are fat like bears. Mesor Balim Basar Kadov. I have no idea if Persians are fatter than anyone else or not. But as it states in the Gemara, that the Persians are fat like bears and they are hairy like bears. Are bears hairy?
Yeah. Furry.
What?
They
have fur. All animals have fur.
No, they weren't, but they're like,
Persians are still
hairy. What? Persians have what type of hair?
They're still hairy.
I am so not commenting on this. I am not going to take the bait. But and then the guy says, "Ein lahem menucha kedov." Bears apparently like walk around. They're bears in camp, right?
Yeah.
People like get scared of them. I don't know why. They're like so cute.
One of our Yasa campers encountered a bear on the hike, just her and her shadow.
weird story.
Okay. You want to tell it? Right. But basically what the Gemara says is that the paras is like bears. By the way, if you want to get a sense of paras, okay, go to the Met, to the Persian room. There is in the Met, in the Persian room, there are golden utensils. If you read the first perek of Esther, you see a tremendous, lavish description of what's going on. And you look at some of the utensils in the Persian room of the Met, and you have a sense, oh my gosh, they were really into their very beautiful items. So the Gemara says that the Persians are the second most chashuv. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked them, what did you do? They said that we built bridges, we conquered cities, we made wars, and we only did it for the Jews, so that the Jews could study Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. You really were not thinking about the Jews. You made the bridges in order to collect taxes. Apparently there was something called toll bridges a long time ago. You made bridges to collect taxes. You built the cities in order to make Engaria. Engaria is that you conscript an army. You take things from the local population to use for your war. And when it comes to war, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm the one who makes war. Hashem ish melchama. Does anyone among you know Torah? Same thing. And the Persians also leave Bepachei Nefesh. Frek the Gemara, but if everyone is getting the same answer, once Rome didn't get the good answer, how come Persia thinks they will get the good answer? So Gemara says, well, Rome destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but Persia, by Paras, built the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Koresh is Persian, and he built the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, how come these are mentioned, right? When all the nations come in, how come the Gemara only goes through Rome and Paras? Zok the Gemara, because Hanach Mashkri Malchusayhu Ado'asa Mashicha. The two Malchus that will remain until Mashiach comes is Paras and Rome. Now again, in tradition, Rome refers to Christianity, and Paras refers to some sort of Arab nations. And again, everyone likes to quote these sources in the Zohar and stuff about how the war of Gog and Magog will be a war of Christianity versus Islam, or proto-Christianity versus proto-Islam, whatever it is. I don't know if these sources are correct, but this Gemara is saying, Hanach Mashki Malchusayhu Ad Asim Mashicha. So then the Gemara says, Omrim Lefanav, Ribono Shalolam, Klo Nasatu Lano V'lo Kibalnua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, did you give us the Torah? Right? Frek the Gemara, right? Can they say that? The Pasuk writes, Vayomar, Hashem Yisinai Bav Zach Mesir Lomoy, Uksiv Elo Amitim An Yavo, Mai Bai Beseir, Mai Bai Paran, Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in saying Paran? Rather, what it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to all the nations and they didn't accept it, and they came to Klai Yisrael and they did accept it. So, the Gemara says, Alohachi Amri Klum Ki Banuha Velo Ki Amnuha Valdo Tivartun. Right? And this is why they were broken. Notice they talk HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Did we accept the Torah and not keep it? That's why they broke them. Now, this Gemara is very interesting when you think about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is offering the Torah to all of the nations in the world, and we prove that from the Pasuk, Hashem Misinai Ba, Vizarach Miseir Lamo, Hofiyah Mehar Paran. Right? Sinai is Har Sinai is Jews. Vizayach mi Seir Lomo, Seir is Esav, and Hofiyah Meha Paran is Yishmael, right? This pasuk was used by Ibn Hazm, who was an Islamic exegete of the Bible, who probably had a relationship with Reb Sadia Gaon, right? And Ibn Hazm said that this pasuk proves the Islamic notion of Nasch. Nasch is one of the Ikari Ha'emuna in Islam. Nasch is N-A-S-K-H, which is actually a term that has a source in Chumash, In this past week's parasha, anyone know where Nas appears in Chumash? Right, there is a pasuk v'nisach tem, emil v'tochacha, which means that you will be uprooted. Nasch is an Islamic doctrine that says that the later faith abrogates the earlier faith. So, Muslims believe that Moshe Rabbeinu was a prophet, but came along Jesus, and he was also a prophet, and Jesus abrogated the faith of Moshe. And came along Muhammad, and Muhammad is later, and Muhammad abrogated, right, the New Testament. Right? That's why in the Quran, you have stories about Mosey, whatever they call him. You have stories about Jesus, and stories about Muhammad. Right? The Quran is into all of this. Now, they prove this in the pasuk that says, Hashem misinai bazarf miseyer lama fiyah mehar paran. Right? That you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Sinai, right, first, and then Seir, and then Paran. So that shows that Islam abrogates Christianity, which abrogated Judaism. This is their raya. Says Reb Sadia, it's Frek Reb Sadia, your kasha. Reb Sadia said, you don't know any Hebrew, because according to you, it shouldn't say Hashem Yisir Ba Vizarach. It should say Yizrach and Yofia. No, it should be in the future tense. But one of the Ikari Ha'emuna in Islam is that this concept of Nasch. My theory about Ikari Ha'emuna in Klal Yisrael, the Rambam has 13 Ikari Ha'emuna, right? Now, how do you decide what's an Ikari Ha'emuna? So the answer probably is that the Rambam's Ikari Ha'emuna are the opposite of their Ikari Ha'emuna. Lo yachalif ha'el ve'lo yamir daso. Right? That means God will never change, right? The Torah will never change, will never replace Klal Yisrael, that it will remain forever, right? In some of the early versions of Yigdal's a poem probably written by Rav Daniel HaBavli, but there's around 84 versions, approximately, of poems that were recited in liturgy that reflected the Ikari Ha'emuna. In some of those poems, they have the word Lo Yinaseach Ha'el instead of Lo Yachalif Ha'el. This word, V'nisach Tem, right, is basically the idea that they were sensitive to this concept of Nasch. This is a paper I once wrote in when I was in Revel. But the basic idea that the Gemara says is that Kadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to all the nations and they didn't accept it, and that Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to Klal Yisrael and we did accept it. One year, Shavuos night, I asked Rav Schechter in yeshiva, I said, you know, we say every day, Asher bachar banu mikol ha'am v'nasan lanas Torah. So it's not true. It's not that Hashem chose us and gave us the Torah. The Torah is like some booby prize. He offered it to them, they didn't want it, right? And then we get it. Were any of you other bothered by this kasha?
Yeah.
It's a good kasha. So Rav Schechter told me, yeah, Rebbe Volokhin of Hamburg asked the kasha in the Sefer Ma'aper Loshen. I'm like, yeah, he's just like 2 pages behind. Like, I didn't get to that yet. Right. Rebbe Volokhin of Hamburg, in his Sefer Ma'aper Loshen, has a whole essay about what does it mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu Bochar Banu, that Hashem chose us to give us the Torah. He says something about had Kadosh Baruch Hu given the Torah to the other umos, he would have given the Torah in their language, and the Torah would not have been as rich. Right, our understanding of Torah is that there's many different meanings for everything, and that's in part because of the richness of Lashon HaKodesh, the fact that Torah is given in Hebrew. Had a Kadosh Baruch Hu given the Torah to the Umos, Rebbe Falkorn of Hamburg assumes, based on his read of this Gemara, it would have been given in, right, Roman and in Persian or whatever.
But they didn't accept, so what if there was like, there's a scroll that exists outside language or whatever? Whoever said yes, I'm like, okay, we'll write it down in that language.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this thing called Torah, and he's offering it to them. It's there. But it wouldn't be exactly this.
It wasn't
this
written down at that point anyway.
Yeah,
I kind of
thought that. Yeah, again, in the, I don't know if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is offering them a written Torah. You're right. But conceptually, it could be that the Torah that Kadosh Baruch Hu is offering them is not exactly the same as the Torah that we received, right? Because of the richness of Lashon Kodesh. Hi, Shani.
Why can't it just be few sentences, like, God chose us, and then he decided to give us the Torah. He chose us before he gave us the Torah.
Asher bachar bonu mikol.
Amen.
Right? Kama, semicolon. I mean, the pashtus is that there is a link between those things. And usually we understand that Bechiras Klal Yisrael is because of the Torah. At least in the Reb Sadyagon world, that Einu Maseinu Uma Ela B'Torasso, right? That what makes Klal Yisrael special is the Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu chose Avram Avinu. If that's the beginning of the Bechira. Ki Yedaitav Laman Asher Yitzav Esponav Esbeisal Achra V'Shomer Derech Hashem Lasot Tzadok L'Mishpat. Kadosh Baruch Hu's choosing Avram Avinu because he's a good mechanic and he'll teach Torah well to his children.
Yeah, but he kind of like makes it clear that he's choosing us before he gives us the Torah. If you want to say that the Avot never really got the Torah, etc.
Maybe, or the Bechira of Klal Yisrael is clearly, Maimed Har Sinai is the formative experience of Klal Yisrael. That's when Pashtus is, we become a nation, or the Pasuk in Kisavo last week that we read, Hayomaz and the Yesal Am, that's talking about when you write Torah on those stones. Right? It's the idea of teaching Torah is the formative experience that makes us a nation. I think that's Pshuto Shomikra. Right?
Yeah, but
we're
still chosen. It's also like he clearly
so
chose
when
us.
When were we chosen? When is the Bechira of Am Yisrael? It's either at Avram Avinu. Right, and then it's like laying dormant until Maimed Har Sinai, or it's a bechira of us at Maimed Har Sinai. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows this is all going to happen. That's why he creates the world to show Yisrael. Again, it is something to think about when the bechira of Klal Yisrael set in exactly. But the pashtus is that's connected to some aspect of Torah. It's very hard to assume, right? Again, not that what you're suggesting is impossible, but it doesn't seem to be the Pashtus. Good? There's a lot more to say about these Gemaras. So, the Gemara asks, right, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to destroy the Goyim. How come you didn't accept the Torah? So the Gemara says, no. Elakachom lefanav, ribono shel olam, kum kafis aleinu har kigiges, velo kibalnu, kemo shasiso Yisrael, dechse vayisyatsu betachte sahar. Kadosh Baruch Hu, they tell Kadosh Baruch Hu, 1 second, you didn't force us to take it. The Jews are under a mountain. So that's why they accepted the Torah. You didn't do that to us. So, and then Reb Dimi Bachama said, Melam Meshachof HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKigisa Yisov, Am Lahem, Im Atem Mekamis HaTorah Mutav, Im Lav, Shom, Te Kivuraschem, all the drushes are, what's the word, Sham, it should be Po, not Shom. The question is much better than the answer. I don't know any of the good answers over here. But the result, the reality of this Gemara is that the Goyim have a real taina. The taina is, hey, Hashem, you never forced us to accept the Torah, you forced the Jews. So, miyad omer lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, harishonos yashmi'unu. We'll learn this from the first offerings. Shenema harishonos yashmi'unu. Sheva mitzvah shekibaltem, heichon kiyamtem. Hashem says, well, I offer you 7 mitzvahs. You accepted 7 mitzvahs. Did you keep those? How do you know that you didn't keep them? Menolan delal kaimum, detan Reb Yosef, omer vaymodin eretz rav ayater Goyim. Myra, oh, what did God see? Ra'azayim mitzvah shekibol aleihem b'nei noach v'lo kaimun. By the way, when did b'nei noach accept the 7 mitzvahs?
That's a question.
What?
When you give us,
yeah, we'll talk about that. Okay. That's part of the issue. Now the question is, right, Hashem sees the 7 mitzvahs that they didn't keep. So, omad v'hitiron lahem. So Hashem said, you know what? Mutar. You don't have to do it. Correct. The Gemara iskuri iskar. Should they benefit? Imke matzinu chote niskar. Because you don't do the mitzvahs, then you don't have to do them. Wouldn't that be chote niskar? Amar mar brei ravina lomar af al pi shemekaymen osan imekaymen osachar. Even though they keep the mitzvahs, they won't get reward. Aye, but a guy who's osek b'torah is like a kohen gadol. Asher yasa asan ha'adam b'chay b'hem. Don't say kohanim. It says ha'adam. That tells me that a guy who's osek b'torah is like a kohen gadol. Elalomah Hashem mekamen ha'sachar ke mitzuva v'osa. K'misha eno mitzuva v'osa. We know the statement of Chanina gadol mitzuva v'osa yoser misha eno mitzuva v'osa. So this Gemara b'pashtos means that the goyim are obligated to do Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, but if they do it, they get reward like Eino Mitzuva Va'osa. They don't get the full reward that we get. Really, they are mitzuvah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing them because they didn't do the mitzvos, HaRishonos Yashmi'unu, Ra'avayatar Gayim. Hashem is punishing them that they won't get the full reward. That's the simple reading of this Gemara. Habayahi, that Rashi, don't learn like us, no? Rashi at the top of Gimel Med Aleph writes, HaTarazu lo tovasam, ela she'ein mitzuvin l'kaiman. Zakt Rashi, Goyim have no obligation to keep Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. And Rashi says this again on Vav Amud Aleph, in the sugya of Lifnei Iver. Rashi Vav Amud Aleph, it's like seven lines on the bottom. Rashi writes, even though it says Amad V'hitiron, still there's an Isser of Lifnei Iver. Now the Rashi is bothered by Akasha. How can there be an Isser of giving Avodah Zarah to a Goy? Goyim are not obligated in the Isser of Avodah Zarah. Because Amad Vihitiran. So this Rashi is a collector's item, but Rashi genuinely holds that Goyim are not obligated in Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, but even so, we are not allowed to give Avodah Zarah to a Goy, because, right, tonight I'm actually not taking the shuttle back, so if it's okay with you, we'll go for like 5 minutes extra. No, you're going to have to forgive me for keeping on going over time. But Rashi says that the Goyim are not mitzuvah in Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. This is a very difficult point. If they're really not obligated in Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, so how come they get punished for not doing it? No? You see, usually we assume that punishment comes because you're supposed to do something, then you don't do it. And reward comes because you're supposed to do something and you do it. With Goyim, somehow they're going to get punished even though they are not obligated to do it according to Rashi. This is the question. Anyone want to try to answer this question? Dun, dun, dun. So I gave you a source in Rabbi Yerucham Perlau's notes, and no one could find it on the Bar Ilan. I then sent it to Brianna earlier today, and she sent it out to everybody. And
yeah,
it's still
readable to read.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not readable on the.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Okay.
Readable.
What?
It was like we got through some of it. Right?
You got through some of it.
Yeah.
That's like a ringing endorsement.
Yeah.
Okay. It's.
Yeah.
So, the simple understanding of what Rabbi Yerucham Fischer Perlau was like a super genius, and he took what Dr. Soloveitchik calls underprivileged texts, and he tried to make it exciting, so he wrote notes on the Kafter Vaferach, which is like a work by Rabbi Shtori HaPrachi on the Halachos of Eretz Yisrael, and he wrote the Sefer HaMitzvos of Reb Sad Yigon. This isn't really a Sefer HaMitzvos. Reb Sad Yigon's poem are called As Harot. In certain Sephardic communities, they just say all 613 mitzvahs. That's what they do. Now, Rabbi Yerucham Perlau decided to make a sefer out of this. So at the back of his sefer, he develops a theme, in part, that maybe the Goyim are going to be punished for not keeping Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, even though they don't have an obligation, based on the concept that we would call natural law. No? The concept of natural law, this should be a W, right? The concept of natural law is what?
Says Rabbi Yechiel. What's his name? Who says this?
Rabbi Yerucham Fischer Perlau.
What is his like understanding of the premise of Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, but that's not what they're intended for?
Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, he says.
We're saying that like, presently Hashem has like, repealed that with
your... Hashem
right?
Repealed the
so,
seven Mitzvot B'nei Noach.
Anyways, that it's just like
meaning
every single one of them.
So there is a question that we could ask about this entire idea, but let's just go slowly. Let's hear his theory first, and then we'll take your question in a second. The concept of natural law means that something that you should be able to figure out on your own is obligatory on you. That philosophy is binding. Now, obviously, there are certain concepts which philosophers debate. Natural law tells you that there are other ideas that no one can debate at all, that every society would agree upon. Not murdering is something that every society agrees upon, but there are certain details that they might disagree. So everyone agrees you can't kill someone from your own in-group, right? Well, who's my group, right? And I could kill people from the out-group, but there is a concept of not murdering that every society has. Not stealing is something that every society has. Rabbi Yerucham Frischel Perlau's idea that he tries to develop at the end of that piece is that maybe the goyim are going to be punished, even though they're not metzuva. Technically, Hashem doesn't tell them they have to do it. But natural law says don't steal, don't murder. These are like sheva mitzvos b'nei noyach. And therefore, they're obligated in it. And that's a pshat and rashi. It's better to be obligated in something because Hashem said you have to do it. But, right, natural law is also somewhat binding. It's binding in that you could be punished for not doing it, but it's not binding that you don't get reward if you do it. That's his approach. Meaning, and this is something that will take us to what we'll have to discuss next time, reward comes because I'm listening to what Hashem said. I'm listening to what the lawgiver said. Over here, I don't get rewarded because I'm not doing it because Hashem said so. I'm doing it because it makes sense. That's Rabbi Yerucham Perlau's idea in explaining the Rashi. Not bad. What?
It makes sense.
It makes sense on a certain level. The problem with this idea, Tehila, you had a problem a minute ago.
Yeah, it's not really a problem, but I think I'm in.
What?
I think I might have more problems also, but for starters.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, for starters, right, like, I always assumed I could be wrong, right, that the whole premise of the show, this was, you know, any of these natural laws. If we're saying that the,
Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach are concepts in natural law, that's what he's saying.
So if we're saying that, like, originally they were obligated in them, and now they're no longer mitzvahin.
Well, originally Hashem said they had to do them, so they were obligated. And then Hashem repealed the obligation, but they still have to do it based on the natural law obligation.
So then what's the whole, like, what do we care about Hashem?
So we care about it because it's because Godo HaMetzuva V'Osa on a certain level. We care about it because it's better to do something because...
You're saying that it's irrelevant. Meaning, like our whole, like, right? Is that we're worried, right? It's always on your mind, you're worried.
Right? Understood. But they could still be punished because they're not using their minds as they should, because they're not coming to the natural law conclusion. If they murder, if they violate those arayas that are also for B'nai Noach, which are natural law type of arayas.
That should be natural, right? Meaning, like, that shouldn't need a mitzvah.
But sometimes people do stuff even though they know it's wrong.
Okay, fine, but then they...
So they know it's a violation of natural law, and they'll get punished for violating the natural law.
But I don't see a plus.
A plus?
A plus of them being mitzvah initially.
No, like, the plus of being mitzvah was that at that time, they got schar.
I don't think that the logic of being mitzvah was that, right, and getting more schar for it is because you would have been nervous. We're saying that natural law should be nervous.
So obviously, we're saying a different logic. This approach would be saying a different logic of mitzvah va'oseh. This approach would be saying that the reason why mitzvah va'oseh is greater than eino mitzvah va'oseh is more simple than what Tosfos says over here. Mitzvah va'oseh is greater because you are doing what Hashem asked. And you're doing Ritzon Hashem. God said so, and I listen, so I get reward. And that's what the Tosfos HaRosh writes in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Aleph, and the Ritva refers to this as one opinion, that Mitzvah Va'osa is not because of what Tosfos says over here, that you have a Yetzer Hara, etc., etc., but there's a different Pshat Mitzvah Va'osa, and that would be why Godel Mitzvah Va'osa. Totally different. So far, so good? Now, the problem, many philosophers, there are a few books about Jewish ethics that came out, they try to ponder the question of the relationship between Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Melech and Natural Law, including one book that's written by Aaron Lichtenstein, who's not the same as Rib Aaron Lichtenstein. It's a friend of my father, a friend of Tehillah's grandfather, who wrote a book on Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Melech, but it's a totally unconnected. It's a cousin. He's a cousin of the Rib Aaron Lichtenstein's brother. But the problem was assuming that Sheva Mitzvahs is a natural law idea is basically Eiver Min HaChai. Eiver Min HaChai is not a concept that would be a natural law concept by any stretch. The Rav Aaron Lichtenstein has an article about natural law that he wrote, where he proves that the source of natural law is from the Gemara in Eiruvin on Daf Kuf, where the Gemara says, Omale nitna Torah hayinu lemeiden tznius mechatol, etc. Now, had the Torah not been given, we'd learn ideas of tznius from cats, and we'd learn this idea from that animal, that idea from that animal, right? That's a natural law type of idea. However, certain concepts might not be based on natural law and can't be based on natural law. No one is going to assume that Eiver Min HaChai is a natural law type of idea. So, how do we understand this Gemara?
Also,
right?
I mean, this sounds counterintuitive, but Avodah Zarah also, right? Meaning like, there's no baseline assumption that there's...
Okay, so is Avodah Zarah a natural law idea? That we could debate in philosophy. As to whether there has to be a God and God has to exist. You're saying if it's debatable, that means by definition it's not natural law. So that's also a fair point. But the connection between Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Melech and natural law is a weak connection. Rashi seems to say by us that Goyim do not have a mitzvah, are not commanded in Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Melech. So then our question is, well, if they're not commanded, how can they get punished? Right? That, in other words, how do we know that they get punished? We know they get punished because the Gemara said earlier that the Umos Olam are going to be punished because Yitnu Eidem be Yitzdaka, they're going to be punished for Sarin Gavoy Dezer, etc. If Rashi's right that Goyim don't have to keep Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and what Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach is Avodah Zarah, why are the Goyim being punished for it? It's clear that the Goyim are going to be punished for Avodah Zarah, no? Isn't that the Gemara Daf Beis Amud Aleph? So what's going on here? So I thought the pshat over here might be, and the Sefer HaMakneh, there in Kedushin Daf Lamed Aleph, says something along these lines. You know, we talk about Nasa V'Nishma. Nasa V'Nishma means, effectively, Nasa V'Nishma means that there are two dimensions. There's a dimension of keeping Torah, and there's a dimension of accepting Torah. Perhaps the Goyim are being punished because they never accepted it. Maybe that is the punishment that they are having.
Never accept the
Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Hashem gave it to them as obligatory, but they didn't really accept it because we see that they didn't keep it. And Hashem said, Ra'a v'yater Goyim, Omad v'mod in Eretz Ra'a v'yater Goyim, meaning that they didn't really accept it. And maybe the idea is that, yeah, they don't have to keep it. That's true. But still, there's a degree of schar that comes from accepting Torah, and another degree of schar that comes when you keep Torah, when you do mitzvahs. Maybe there's a degree of punishment for not keeping, if you're supposed to, and there's another degree of punishment for not accepting. In other words, it could be that we could read our Gemara. Again, I think this is conjecture. I don't know if it's correct at all. But perhaps what the Gemara is getting at is that the Goyim, precisely because they didn't accept the Sheva Mitzvahs, meaning that Hashem offered it to them, and they decided not to keep it, which shows that there was a chesaron in their Kabbalah, they didn't have this Nasa V'Nishma idea. So maybe the onesh that comes is not because they don't do it, because they don't have to do it anymore, but the onesh is coming because they didn't accept it. Hi, Talia.
What's the point of accepting something? I mean, it's the same thing as harking the deed, but if they're not, they were, I guess, considering that they were commanded and they weren't offered it. but they were commanded it and they didn't accept it. Like,
no, that's a good question.
They must have had a choice at some point to accept it or not. So how are they being punished for not accepting something that was never offered to them?
How? They didn't.
Like, I think what you're saying, right? The Gemara, like here at the Philippi class, right? We ask the question inverted, right? It's like, Kibbutz Kar. I mean, we assume that they kept it, right? And then they accepted it afterwards. Here, we're saying the opposite.
That they didn't accept, right?
Maybe it's just like our brains are like wired to think that it only works that way. But I don't think it makes so much sense.
I'm just arguing that we see from many sources that there are two dimensions to Torah. There's the acceptance and then there's the kiyum. Right? So the Umas HaOlam get their punishment not because they lack in execution, but because they lack in accepting it. Right, I think that's what emerges from this Gemara on a certain level, right? Which is that this Gemara is really a back take. Right? It's exactly the opposite of our Nasa V'Nishma idea. I thought of this myself. You can't blame this on the Machne. So if you don't like it, that's fine. It's mine. But I think there might be some emes to it. That the Onesh, right? Shani, there's something about this that you didn't like.
I don't get it. If we're not
going to
hold them responsible for anything, then what's
going to
happen when they get
to Shemayim?
God's just
going to
say, good job.
So God's
going to
say to them, I'm punishing you because you didn't accept it.
Right. Like, they're going to get punished for something.
Right. So either they get punished for not fulfilling it, but Rashi over here is meduyak, that they're not punished for not keeping the mitzvos,
right,
but they are going to be punished for not accepting those mitzvos.
Even though it sounds not so fair, but it makes sense that, like,
that's a vote.
If God is really, like, the only God, then all other nations are gonna get punished when they die. Because they
get served. Now, by the way, there's a few ways of looking at this in terms of, you know, the halacha is that a ger has to accept taryag mitzvahs. How come a ger has to accept 613 mitzvahs when they had 7 beforehand? And there is a statement in the Sefer Rokeach, where the Sefer Rokeach writes that Rus is Gematria 606 because she only accepted 606 mitzvahs because she had 7 from beforehand, right?
I don't like Gematria.
Advanced. But it works! You don't have to like it, Rus.
It.
Huh?
Except for when it doesn't. This is the time of year.
Except when it's off by one. Eggos, right? I know, Rosh Hashanah is coming. Don't eat nuts unless you eat one extra nut. I don't know. But whatever it is. In this case, the Sefer Rokeach is right into these gematrias. But why does a ger accept 613 mitzvahs? So there are two approaches that's given. One approach is what we mentioned in the introductory shiur, that maybe both Jews and Goyim, let's say, have an Isra of Avodah Zarah, but Avodah Zarah for Goyim has a different meaning than Avodah Zarah for Jews. Goyim, Shituf is okay. For Jews, it's not okay. Right? That was, and Arayas means something different, and Gezel means something different for Jews and Bnei Noach, right? We mentioned all this in the introductory Shia. The other approach might be that En Hachanami, what the Rokeach is saying is that Goyim only accept 606 mitzvahs because, or again, only has to accept 606 mitzvahs, you don't have to accept 613.
No.
But if Rashi is right, so then we understand why a ger has to accept 613 mitzvahs. Because Rashi is saying that Goyim don't have to keep Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach.
What about the opinion that they're like reborn and that nothing in their life up until then counts, so they have to accept upon the 7 again?
That's all true. Right? And that's, again, that's another way of dealing with this, but that's another approach. Okay, Bekitzer, I think we will continue from here, Mi'at Hashem, on Monday. Look at some of the Rishonim on Gadol HaMetzuvah Va'Oseh. If you're interested, there's a shiur of Rav Gustman in the Kuntrasei Shi'urim on Kedushin in Simin Chav, where he talks about Gadol HaMetzuvah Va'Oseh, that we'll probably talk about. I want to just learn the Tosafot on Gimel Mar Aleph, go through the Gemara next time. This Gemara is relatively light. You can continue in the Gemara if there's not enough Makoros for you for Monday, but we just got to get through this. I got it, and make a few more points. Okay, Chevra, thank you for listening.